So, Roddy, because I didn't get to talk to you, I have like four pitchers there, and I'll try to prompt you. Thank you so much. So, today we're going to talk about bringing us together from Ephesians 11 through 22. So, our first pitcher is of a missionary, a Presbyterian missionary named Lillian Dickinson, and she was a missionary for some people in the mountains. Formosa was the name of the country. And she told a story of going across this trail. As she was going across the trail, anybody ever been on one of those bridges, like in the mountains or something? And it's always a little bit scary, at least from the times I've gone on them, way up in the mountains. And she noticed there was some loose boards and some gaps that were missing. And she finally asked her guide, who was bringing her through the trails, "Have people drowned here? Have they fell through the cracks, through the empty boards?" And his reply was, "Oh yes, tons of times." "But it didn't matter," he said. "They were from another village." So the question is, if the Lord were to ask us about the lost in the world, what would we tell him? "Yes, it doesn't really matter though. They're from another social class, maybe another skin color, another religious faith. It really doesn't matter." But it mattered to God, right? That's why he sent Jesus for us all this morning. Friends, we live in a world divided. White, black, Arab, Jew, male, female, rich, poor. And the list goes on. You could probably think of your own divisions. Friends, it's divided. We'll go to the next picture. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "It's appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning." And according to experts, this assertion remains true. My home pastor used to tell me this all the time. I just didn't know where he got it from. About 8 in 10 American congregations will still attend services, 8 out of 10. Where we look like everyone else, right? And it's not a judgment, it's an observation. Look at us this morning, right? 8 out of 10 Americans, which is pretty interesting. On TikTok, I've been watching these videos of these African American women who love white churches, right? And they keep talking about all the things that white churches do that they really love. We can worship together, right? We do have different worship styles. We would feel really awkward, for example, if we were to go to a Greek Orthodox church this morning, because not any of us speak Greek, right? But we're divided. So how do we bring unity? And again, you look at the church today. It's not just race, it's everything causes division. I mean, we can't even agree, and kind of a silly notion, who has the best chicken sandwich, which has to be Chick-fil-A, right? We can't agree. But the first century was no less divided, friends. The basic distinction was Jew or Gentile. Jew or Gentile. And you certainly wouldn't see Jews and Gentiles in the same house of worship together. It just didn't happen. I mean, read the scriptures. There was so much division. Some Christians, Jewish Christians, had trouble accepting Gentile converts. And all of us this morning are Gentile converts, unless somebody is Jewish on their mother's side this morning, which I don't know if anybody is. But they insisted that we become Jews first, known as what? The Judaizers. So that would mean adult men, and we've talked about this, that aren't circumcised would have to go get circumcised in order to be a convert of Christianity. You would have to follow all the laws of the land, all the laws of Moses to be a Christian. But Paul, in this text this morning, shows the Ephesians how God answered the world's plea for oneness and the ability for all of us this morning to be saved. Despite our DNA, despite what we look like, despite the color of our skin, despite where your mother or father came from, not becoming a Jew first, but acknowledging Jesus Christ, Him crucified on a cross, rising from the dead, ascending to heaven, and being seated at the right hand of God. But first, as we talked about last week, we have to accept our former state. Who were we before Jesus? Verses 11 and 12. So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, you were called uncircumcised by Jews who are physically circumcised. And at that time, you were without Christ. You were rather aliens than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenant of God's promise. In the world, you had no hope and no God. So, our former state, what was it? We had no hope and no God. No hope. We were completely hopeless without Jesus. The Greeks called those outside of their city pagans. Pagans. You guys know what pagans are, right? We're all a bunch of pagans. I'm going to tell you here in a moment. And Jews called those not in their race the Gentiles. And neither group had any use for each other, friends. They didn't like each other. They didn't affiliate with each other. And this is one of the things I love about being American, because we are just so mixed in culture, DNA. Again, I came from by Miami and West Palm Beach. I'm going to tell you, there was no distinction. We were all mixed together in one group. And I think I've told you, I'd have 20 languages represented on a Sunday morning. That was just normal. It's just a normal part of life. But again, neither group had use for each other. But, friends, salvation was for the Jews. God had revealed Himself through their prophets, and the Gentiles were not so blessed. Paul gives five aspects of being a Gentile. We're Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. And many today, all of us this morning, were there at one point. We were godless. We were pagans. We were Gentiles. We were without Christ. So the question is, do we care about them? Or do we say, you know what? They're from another village. Let them fall. Right? Do we care about those separated that are different from us? Those that lie asleep this morning at, I don't know, it's about 9 o'clock right now, that aren't in church, that have no relationship with Jesus, do we care about them? Now, you guys don't want to hear stories about me every week, I know. And I don't want to tell you stories about me every week, trust me. But I have to kind of brag on my kid, because I love my kids, right? And we're sitting there, and some of you may have heard this, but we're sitting there, and I asked Ricky Lee, I said, Ricky Lee, what do you want to pray for tonight? And he says, I want to pray for my friend that doesn't know Jesus. He's 6. He wants to pray for his friend that doesn't know Jesus. So my 6-year-old can pick up on one tidbit of my sermon while he's distracted on some electronic in church. You all can do the same. I know it. Who's that one friend that doesn't know Jesus today? It took Christ to bring unity out of division in the first century church. And He alone can do it again. Because people matter. We were Christless. We were stateless. We were friendless, hopeless, and godless. Which brings us to the broken wall. Starting at verse 13. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you were once, were so far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. And He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. One group. And with His body, He broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. So I want you to think about all the hatred today that you see. How can Christ break down those barriers? break down those barriers. There's a lot of it. And I fear that the last couple of years, it's only gotten worse, especially since the pandemic. I feel like there's been a lot of division in this time. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that we could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. And he reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. And when he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. See, he took down the wall between Jew and Gentile, both literally and figuratively. The unseen wall of hate that stood between them. And the temple in Jerusalem stood a real wall. If we can go to the next picture here. One that kept the Gentiles from the temple proper. And on it were these words: no foreigner may enter with the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Could you imagine if we did this today? And the real question is, do we? Maybe we don't physically have a word on our door that says, don't enter. But do our unintentional actions, and sometimes our lack of faith, and I'm speaking to the choir, not preach Christ and Him crucified? See, anyone who was caught going to the temple, who was a Gentile, aided in their own death. They expected to be stoned to death, right? For entering the temple as a Gentile. Do we stone people, friends, unintentionally, not thinking about it? See, the blood of Christ destroyed the dividing wall. All people, Jew or Gentile, can come to God through Jesus. And in his death, he brought not only harmony between man and God, but also between brother and brother, sister and sister. The blood of Christ saves us. And we can break down every wall that exists today. Ethnic, social, and hear this, political. And whatever it may be. And there are so many walls that we put up in our lives. I don't care if my neighbor next door, and they're not because I know them. If my neighbor are a bunch of communists, I still want them to know Jesus, right? If they're lost souls, I don't care whatever the difference we may have. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. And Jesus can work on the rest, right? It's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit. And they know where I stand on things. See, Jesus calls us all weary, discouraged, fearful, troubled, depressed, disappointed. Anybody experience this? Anybody ever been weary? Again, or discouraged, fearful? Anybody afraid of anything? I know I have. Anybody ever been really troubled in their life? When you sit up at night and you can't go to sleep because you got something on your head. And it just goes and goes and goes. Or you know what's even better? Is when you finally fall asleep and you have a dream or a nightmare about it. And I don't remember most of my dreams, but there are a few that I remember. I remember arguing with somebody in my dreams, right? Anybody been there? And I know all of us, if you haven't had this in your life, I've been depressed before. So sad, you don't know how to get through it. But Jesus does. And Jesus calls us there. He offers us reconciliation. You know, think about friendships or family that, I don't know, you've been fighting for a decade with. you don't talk to. We have that in our family. Jesus can offer reconciliation. Peace. And blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And access to the Father, because he gives us a new structure. We can go back to the title slide. I think that's all my pictures. And Jesus tells us this in verse 19 to 22, or Paul does. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. Oh, I do have one more. Thank you. You are built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. And the whole building is joined together in him and then grows up into the temple that is dedicated to the Lord. And Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. And finally, again, God, Jesus Christ, gives us a new life, a new building, a new sanctuary for the Lord. Here we go. This guy's name is, I know I'm going to butcher his last name, William Henkerson. He's a Reformed theologian of New Testament. And he noted this, that Christ is not only the principle of the church's stability, us, right? Our stability and direction, the Holy Spirit. I keep telling you, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for our direction, but also its growth. The Lord brings us all together and builds us up in him. And the apostle compares our new relationship to a house, a building. There's a psalm. Let me keep sure I'm quoting it right. Unless the Lord builds the house, in vain do the laborers labor. Unless the Lord builds the house. So everything that we do has to be upon the Lord's will. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Again, it is Christ himself who is the chief cornerstone. We're going to be celebrating All Saints Sunday coming up soon, right? We are built on the apostles and prophets. In Christ, we are given a new outlook, a new relationship, a new hope. So in Florida, you guys know about those articles, a Florida man, a Florida woman. You guys seen those? They're all crazy, right? But there was a Florida church newspaper that said this. Her husband had passed away. And she says, "Thank you for grieving for George with us. I urge you not to grieve more for him than you do for God's son, whose death made eternal life possible for us. We are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus has brought us together." Jesus. The reason we're here this morning, because, I don't know, in 1944, our church came together around that time period. But the people that met to create First Lutheran were brought together by the Holy Spirit. The congregation that we see here this morning, all of you, at some point were brought to this church by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm sure some of you had friends that were here. Maybe you were encouraged. I've been told there were some members that started coming here because their church didn't have anything for kids, and this one did, and this was years ago, like 30-plus years ago. There were things that the Holy Spirit crafted together to bring people here, and he's doing it today as well. It is the Spirit of God that brings oneness in the body. It's the Spirit of God that makes for some way, all of us who are different get along with each other. And I think for the most part, we get along with each other. All of us were brought here by the Holy Spirit. So friends, let us remember that Christ brings us together, not apart. He makes us look at our junk, our former state, in which we were pagans. Pagans, all of us. We are Christless, we are stateless, we were friendless, we were hopeless, and we were godless. You've heard that three times now. He breaks down our walls that we can walk with the Lord in our outward expression of our churches. And lastly, Jesus builds a new structure as he did in John 2 when he says, I will tear down the temple and rebuild it. He will tear down our bodies, our souls. Again, at baptism, we are born anew with water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. All of us are given new life. So just like the rich man that went to Jesus, you must give everything you have, sell it, and then follow me. Jesus also says what? We must be born anew. We must be reborn. And he says what? It's impossible. I can't be reborn. I can't enter my mother's womb a second time. Through the water and the Spirit, friends. So that he can build the church with his faithful disciples. Remember Acts? Devoted disciples. They devoted themselves to the hearing of Scripture, to the breaking of bread. All of these things, we come together as the body of Christ. Because in Christ, and I'll close with this, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. So, let Christ bring us together as one family, grafting us as one tree to bear good fruit together here at First Lutheran. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us be your hands and feet, the body of Christ, God, in oneness and unity for you and for the whole world, God, that others may know you. God, that we care regardless if people look different than us, talk different than us, think differently than us, God, that we are an outward sign of who you are. God, lead us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise.